Shalom. Greetings to you from Messianic Ministry to Israel. Shalom. You're listening to Hear, O Israel, a radio ministry of Messianic Ministry to Israel. We are a mission board and sending agency since 1944, located here in Chattanooga, Tennessee, although our mission field is Israel. Our representatives living in Israel are dedicated to bringing the gospel, the Besorah of Yeshua, back to where it came from, back to the Jewish people. And our Lord is opening doors. Myriad Jewish people are coming to faith in Yeshua. And the church, the congregation of Yeshua, those of us who are born again, those of us who are saved, are coming to know our Jewish roots. Join me as we open the divine library and see what our Lord has to say to us concerning Israel. Shalom, I'm Reggie Lisenby on behalf of Messianic Ministry to Israel. Let me first say Happy Easter, or in Hebrew, Chag Sameach, Happy Feast. 2,000 years ago, and on purpose, Yeshua, the final Lamb of God, was crucified on the Feast of Passover. There are no more lambs God will receive. There are no more blood sacrifices God will acknowledge. Yeshua was taken down from the tree and buried in time to fulfill the next feast, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Yeshua arose on the next feast, which is the Feast of First Fruits, which had been celebrated for almost 1,500 years before Yeshua. And according to Jehovah's prescription, the Feast of First Fruits had been observed on the first day of the week, that is, what we call today Sunday, although not by that name then, but rather, quote, the morrow after the Sabbath that followed the Feast of Unleavened Bread. By the time of Yeshua, the Feast of Passover and Unleavened Bread were celebrated as one feast. Between these two feasts and the Feast of First Fruits on the first day of the week, the day after the Sabbath, where was Yeshua? Between the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Feast of First Fruits when Yeshua arose, where was he? Asleep in the tomb? In heaven with his Father? Yeshua was the Paschal Lamb who died on Passover. Yeshua was the unleavened bread of life placed in the earth following his death as bread was placed in the oven. And as an observant Jew, he kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He resurrected on the Feast of First Fruits that occurred on the first day of the week, as we just said. In time, the first day of the week came to be called Sunday. So again, where was Yeshua between Pesach on Good Friday and the Feast of First Fruits, or Resurrection Sunday, what today is called Easter? By the way, Passover does not occur this year until April 22nd. That's on a Monday. The real Resurrection Sunday is not until the following Sunday after Passover. This year, that would be April the 28th, 2024. Of course, the reason we celebrated Easter today on this Sunday is because of church tradition established in AD 325 by the Council of Nicaea. The first Sunday following the spring equinox will be Easter. But of course, the Feast of Israel, they're lunar calibrations. So we're celebrating Easter today a tad early. Yeshua was God, and Yeshua was also man. He was the son of Adam, the son of Adam. Therefore, Yeshua followed the example and fate of every descendant of Adam. Of every descendant of Adam, he died. Yeshua left his body, just like you and I will leave our bodies when we die. And his spirit went into Sheol. Later, he would ascend to heaven. Yeshua came not only to live, but Yeshua came to die. And in order to do death, he had to become sin, for he was divine. He became our sin. Yeshua died for the sins of all men, and therefore he died for all men, in order that he might be the propitiation for all men's sins. Since Yeshua was sinless, he would have never died, never. He bore our curse. He incurred our wrath for sin and sinning. He bore our guilt, and he experienced our death. The cost for Yeshua to become our propitiation was exorbitant. Yeshua faced the anxiety, the phobia, the dread, and the horror of separation from his Father. Yeshua hemorrhaged, and he sweat drops of blood in the transition from the perfect sinless God-man to becoming sin for us. Characteristic of all men who die from Adam and every descendant from Adam, the body without its life support, that is the spirit, begins the process of decay. Yeshua's body, however, lay dormant without decaying because he had not sinned and he was sinless. As the last Adam, the last Adam, according to 1 Corinthians 15:22, Yeshua would have lived forever. Well, of course, Adam would have lived forever had he not sinned. Yeshua's body lay ready, awaiting to robe Yeshua upon his return to it, from the underworld back to his temple. Yeshua was going to return to his body as he had told the Perishim and the Zadokim, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He said, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it up in 3 days." However, only after first taking care of some spiritual business. So let's discover where Yeshua was between Passover and unleavened bread and Sunday, first fruits, what we call today Easter, and why Yeshua went there. Sheol is the Hebrew term, Hades is the Greek, was the underworld of the dead. The etymology of the word Sheol is unknown, so its meaning is found in the scriptures, which speak of its existence. What we know for certain is that Sheol was and is the place for the dead. But Sheol was not and is not only a place where dark spirits are incarcerated. Evil spirits are not in Sheol. They are loose and unrestricted and participate in the supernatural war being fought globally in the spiritual realm for the souls of men. They are allowed, with some limitations, to influence the physical sphere where we live, if we give them access. They battle for something exceedingly valuable, the eternal souls of men. These spiritual beings are celestial, yet they are also all around us. The Holy Scriptures say that these spiritual fallen beings walk about the earth, tempting and deceiving, counterfeiting and soliciting, lying and murdering the human species. Sheol, spoken of in the Tanakh or the Old Testament scriptures, was the destination of all men, everyone, in afterlife. Yaakov or Jacob expected to go to Sheol after his derelict life of mourning for his son Yosef. In Genesis 37:35, he says, "Surely I will go down to Sheol in mourning for my son." Yaakov was not expecting to go to a place of everlasting torment. Again, Yaakov says what will become of him and his anticipated end when he tells his sons, who are to take his youngest son, Benjamin, with them down to Egypt if they don't return with him. And he says, Genesis 44:29, "Then you will bring my gray hair down to Sheol in sorrow." Sheol was not the grave. In Numbers 16:30, Moshe wrote these words, "But if Jehovah brings about an entirely new thing, and the ground opens its mouth and swallows them up with all that is theirs, and they descend alive into Sheol, then you will understand that these men have spurned Jehovah." Job tells us that departed spirits tremble under the waters, and that Sheol is naked before Jehovah. And Sheol consumes those who have sinned. In Numbers 16:30, Moshe wrote that Korah shall go down alive into Sheol. The psalmist wrote that the wicked will return to Sheol and everyone who forgets God. Yet King Hezekiah wrote, I quote, "In the middle of my life, I am to enter the gates of Sheol to be deprived of the rest of my years," in Isaiah 38:10. Was Hezekiah expecting to go to the dark, murky underworld, the dark domain, a place of confinement and terror where souls are forever abandoned of God? Of course not. Were the righteous to live temporary alongside lost spirits until the great judgment? Hezekiah was expecting to go to Sheol, but to the compartment or the room where the righteous gathered to await the first fruits of the resurrection, whoever he might be. And they knew him to be Mashiach. Yes, I believe they knew something of the plan, although not his name. They knew there was a gathering place for the family of God in Sheol after they died on earth. Moshe wrote that when Avraham died, he was gathered to his people. Genesis 25:8. Well, where was that? When Yaakov died, he was gathered to his people. Genesis 49:33. Where was that? Yitzchak, or Isaac, at death was gathered to his people. Genesis 35:29. Where was he gathered to? Where was his people? Aaron was told while he was living that after death, he would be gathered to his people in Numbers 20:26. Gathered with them where? In the grave? Jehovah told Moshe that he would be gathered to his people, and Jehovah buried Moshe somewhere on Mount Pisgah. Moshe's people were buried back in Egypt, some in the Sinai, and others who made it were buried in the Promised Land. So Moshe was not gathered to the bones of his predecessors. He was not buried in Egypt or in the Sinai, nor was he buried in the Promised Land. He was not buried in the same earth of his tribe, the Levites. Moshe was not allowed to enter the Promised Land. So Moshe wasn't buried with his children and their children who would live and die and be buried in the Holy Land. Nor was Moshe gathered with the bones of the patriarchs yonder in antiquity in Haran. The gathering place was not the grave. Sheol, the Hebrew term, or Hades, the Greek term, was multifaceted. It was a place where every soul, everyone, went at death. The righteous to one compartment, the unrighteous to another. Between the two was a great gulf, a great chasm that was prepared and immovable, so that those in one cubicle could not pass over to the other cubicle. This was the meaning of the story of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16. The Lord was not talking about heaven and hell, but the two places in Sheol, in Hades, in the underworld, hell and paradise, with a great chasm between the two compartments. Sheol, or Hades, was a geographical location and existence for all who died. Job cast an illusion that Sheol was a deep abyss beneath the center of the earth, so that there's nothing deeper, Job 11:8, and in comparison to the height of heaven. The prophet Yeshayahu, the prophet Isaiah, wrote that the departed spirits in Sheol were stirred and maybe even made excited that the king of Babylon was coming to hell. In Isaiah 14:9, misery loves company. The Holy Scriptures are clear that Sheol is the abode for the wicked, distinguished from the place of the righteous. In the New Testament, Hades is the Greek word used for the same place as Sheol in the Tanakh or the Old Testament. Although Hades discloses more information, Sheol or Hades is a deep, dark, dank, desolate pit of imprisonment and punishment for the wicked, and a place also prepared for the righteous, so wonderful that it's called paradise, the gathering place for all the godly ones. For the lost who did not and do not know the Lord, Sheol or Hades was and remains a place of incarceration devoid of activity, devoid of any happiness, any joy, any worship, and it's bereft of the most terrifying realization. There is no hope. Take hope away, and that is the most terrorizing aspect of the underworld. Sheol, Hades, or the netherworld is associated with darkness, worms, dust, physical corruption, horrendous panic and fear, and unimaginable physical suffering and pain. The netherworld is characterized in the Tanakh with a sense of depth and breadth, and is described metaphorically as a prison with bars where the dead are forever confined, never to return to life. Sheol, or Hades, with its two partitions or two compartments and a gulf fixed between them, was once upon a time the gathering place of saints who met in a conscious existence to await the first fruits of the resurrection. The one who would hold the key to death, Yeshua, is the first fruits. Yeshua is himself, as he said he was, the resurrection. He in fact said, "I am the resurrection and life. He who believes in me shall live, even if he dies," in John 11:25. No spirit, no human, has ever escaped Sheol or Hades, and no holy one or saint has ever come forth from paradise until Yeshua has called their name and allowed it. And that was the case, for example, of Samuel in the Tanakh, when Shaul, Saul, came to the witch of Endor, and Shmuel was called out of paradise back to the earth. The same case was for Lazarus, when Yeshua called his name. Yeshua called Lazarus, and he came forth, not from heaven, not from Sleepy Town, but from the righteous partition of Sheol, from the compartment called paradise, which was the righteous chamber of the prison house. When King Shaul ordered the witch of Endor to summon Shmuel from the dead, to the witch's utter shock and awe, Shmuel arose, and he spoke to Shaul, and he said, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" 1 Samuel 28:15. Shmuel was not brought down from heaven. He came up from paradise to speak to Shaul, and he foretold Shaul's imminent death. And Shaul did not recover from that seance, and he died shortly after. When Yeshua died, Kepha, that is Peter, gave us inspired revelation that the good physician Lucas recorded in his book of Acts. Yeshua went to Hades as prophesied by the psalmist in Psalm 16:8-11, and that his soul was not left there to see corruption. Read Acts 2:27. Yeshua went to hell? He burned for us? No, of course, ridiculous. He went to Hades, Sheol, and to the compartment of the righteous. Yeshua went to paradise to greet the saints and to lead them out. We are also told in the divine library that Yeshua visited the lowest region of Sheol called Tartarus, a third and lower subterranean compartment in Sheol, the ancient Greek Tartaros. This word was used one time in the Holy Scriptures by the Apostle Petrus, the Apostle Peter, in his second letter, referring to the angels who sinned in the days of Noah, that they were cast, literally hurled, thrown into Tartarus, sadly translated in English Bibles as hell. These angels, unlike all other evil entities, were not spared, meaning they were not given release, they were not given freedom or autonomy to roam about the earth, as we know of demons and wicked spirits. In Peter's first letter, he wrote of these beings thought by many to be the watchers in the days of Enoch. 1 Peter 3:19 says this, "For Christ also died for our sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which also he went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison, who once were disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah, during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is, 8 persons, were brought safely through the water. To these spirits in prison, Messiah Yeshua announced his gospel, which he had accomplished in God's perfect timing. He was prophesied to come, he came. Being a man, he was made a propitiation for man. He was believed by the remnant. He resurrected on his own merit. He was exalted next to the Father. His proclamation in Tartarus was not to evangelize them. These were spirits in prison forever, but an assertion that he had fulfilled his Father's messianic plan designed before the foundation of the world, on which these spirits were knowledgeable. He also preached to them their coming judgment. There are no words to describe the terror they experienced upon hearing this message. This same message and this same terror unbelievers will have on the last day when Yeshua declares to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity." In the same venue, Yehuda, the brother of Yeshua, wrote the following in Jude chapter 6. "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day." The sequence in chronology is the following. Angels kept not their first estate, but defected from their domain and crossed over, committing apostasy. Second, God did not spare these angels who sinned. Third, he cast them into Tartarus. Fourth, he committed them to pits of darkness reserved for judgment. Then, they're reserved in everlasting chains under darkness until judgment. Messiah died for sins once, the just for the unjust. Messiah was put to death. Messiah was made alive in the Spirit in which he also went, and he made proclamation to the spirits now in prison, those disobedient when God was being patient in the days of Noah. The context of these verses concerning the angels who became apostate by traversing God's conspicuous boundary of habitation is the days of Noah. Once crossing that boundary, there was and there is no re-entry to God's grace or his kingdom. That one has forever passed into everlasting unforgiveness. Sheol Hades continues to exist for the wicked today, and will do so until the final day when Sheol, or Hades, will be emptied into Gehenna, or the lake of fire, Revelation 20:10, and the smoke of their torment will ascend throughout eternity, according to Revelation 20:10. 12 times Gehenna is used in the Brit Kadeshah, or the New Testament, and 11 of those 12 occurrences, Yeshua used it. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than having 2 hands to go to Gehenna into the fire that shall never be quenched. Luke 12:5. "Fear him who after he has killed has the power to cast into Gehenna." Matthew 23:15. "Woe to you scribes and Perishim, Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, to make him twice as much a son of Gehenna as you are." Yaakov, or James, the brother of Yeshua, also used the term Gehenna in chapter 3 of his book, speaking about the tongue that is set on fire in Gehenna. Presently, the location of Gehenna is unknown. All I've shared with you today is in my book called The Feast of First Fruits. He arose a victor from the dark domain.
This program is a production of Messianic Ministry to Israel. If you are blessed by the biblical content we share each week, would you please consider giving a gift of support to our mission board? Messianic Ministry to Israel is a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, and your gift will help cover the necessary expenses associated with this broadcast and help keep our program on the air. You can give securely at our website, www.mmisrael.org, or you may call 423-855-4818. That's 423-855-4818. Also, would you let us know that you listen to our program each week? That would be very encouraging to us. Thank you very much for praying for Messianic Ministry to Israel, and thank you for your generous gift of support. Shalom Bayit. Peace to your house.
Thank you for listening to Messianic Ministry to Israel, a mission board since 1944. Learn more about our ministry at mmisrael.org.